Good morning and welcome to the roundtable for this Friday, the 20th of March. Very nice to have you with us on this Friday. And, well, it's nice to have you any day, but, you know, Friday doesn't hurt. We'll be with you for the next 47 minutes or so. We're going to talk about a range of issues, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go to our webpage, WAMC.org/roundtable. God, nobody saw that. WAMC/roundtable. Yeah, I just hit my face into the microphone, but it's okay now. And
what, the mic or your face?
Yeah. And we welcome your comments. Today's post, 3/20/15 panel, and you can click on there and be part of our interactive community, and we would love for you to do that. Or again, you can just write us directly, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let me introduce the panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Shartok is up and ready for a good conversation.
You bet I am,
Joe. There he is. And Ray Graff is with us. Very nice to have Ray here.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning, Raymond. And our good friend Libby Post is with us, political consultant to the stars, and she joins us this morning as well.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very nice to have you here. She was chair dancing earlier.
Yeah,
right?
Yes, I was.
Fairly impressive. It was like a speakeasy in here.
Yeah. Yes, it was, Ray, because you guys kept talking about
bathtub gin and whatnot.
Right, right. So I had to start dancing since I won't drink it.
Let's go to the topics of the day. Again, we welcome your comments. This is the story that has, Ray brought, as soon as this cleared the wire yesterday, Ray looked at me and said, really? Here you go. So Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel on Thursday tried to backtrack from his pre-election declaration that no Palestinian state would be established on his watch, but his new assertions appear to do nothing to assuage an infuriated Obama administration. In a series of interviews with American broadcasters, Mr. Netanyahu also said he had not been trying to suppress the votes of Arab citizens with an Election Day video warning that they were being used to bus to polling stations in droves, remarks that he had also caused outrage at the White House and around the world. Mr. Netanyahu said he had not intended to reverse his endorsement in a 2009 speech of a two-state solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but only to say that it was impossible right now.
And I have a bridge I'd like to sell you, okay?
Yeah.
You know, he's giving politicians of all stripes, doesn't matter, just, you know, reinforcing the fact you say one thing in the 11th hour to get elected, and then you reverse yourself. There's no more read my lips. I mean, this is just insane.
So, Alan, let me ask you about sure. this, and then also the fact that now he is saying that even though he said what he said and is saying what he's saying, he still doesn't believe that it is backtracking.
Well, look, the first thing we know, and I think Libby probably just said it best without using the word, is that he's a liar. He's just, just lying. And, you know, he says one thing and then he changed it. Look, at very best, what he did was to scare the hell out of everybody in Israel and to say, you know who I am, and the Arabs, are bad, and some of them are. And, you know, you have to understand I'm not on my watch. And now he's going to go back to the old way of doing things, which is to negotiate, but to say it'll never be enough. So the guy is a fibber, and he said one thing, it worked for him, and now he knows that he's in deep trouble. And here's the trouble: the United Nations, the one vote on that Security Council that has stood between disaster for the Israelis, and I mentioned this yesterday too, has always been. But I was a little bit out in front of it because nobody really thought that the United States would vote for a Palestinian state or anything else while Israel was in trouble. But now there is an indication that the UN may do exactly that, vote for the Palestinian state, and that, of course, is why Netanyahu is backing up as fast as he can.
The second part of the brief squib from the article that I read from the Washington Post is that the White House is infuriated. They are very upset over this. Talk a little bit, Alan, about that anger, the reason for that anger, and how it already, makes you scratch an itch that has been pretty inflamed for a while.
Well, look, there are different ways that people negotiate. They negotiate in public and they negotiate in private. And from what I can see here, the private negotiations were what are really upsetting both Kerry and the president. Because they seem to think, I think they probably know what they're talking about, that they were told one thing and that Netanyahu double-crossed them. So I think that when people negotiate in private, that sort of is seen as sacrosanct among politicians. And I think that's what's got them really livid now. They were lied to.
And Libby, where do you go from here? I mean, I guess the thing that surprised me as a political consultant, it would seem to me even if you were going to do this, that you would wait a little while before you reversed yourself, like not...
Right. You have some meetings with people. You put together your government. You put together, if they have a cabinet, your advisors. You reach out to the Arabs in the country. You do some...
You try to make it look not like a lie.
Right. You do something that, actually makes it look genuine. And that's and there you have it. It was just... I'm at the flabbergasted and speechless, and I just can't fathom, what it's like to be someone who lives in Israel, who wants peace, it's like being in the United States in the 60s and protesting against the Vietnam War and having it all fall on deaf ears for a very long time.
Yeah, but the downside on this, Libby, is that... I think he had to come out real fast because he thought, and I think his advisors are probably telling him, that there was no guarantee of what would happen in terms of United States commitments either at the UN or privately to the other actors in this thing. And whatever information they were getting made them say, uh-oh, we better move fast.
So you have a private conversation. I mean, I get what you're saying, yes, because the UN, if this U.S. is that lone vote, I still don't think the U.S. is going to go that far out on a limb here, and the president would then alienate a lot of his support. But, so then you have a private conversation. The problem is that Netanyahu doesn't respect Obama.
Does Obama respect Netanyahu?
I think he started out that way, wanting to work together. And the other party hasn't given them a lot of opportunity to do that. So I get what you're saying, Alan, and yes, but on the other hand, you were talking about those behind the scenes conversations, a conversation could have been had. And
I'm pretty sure that a conversation or two were had.
And maybe they said you better get out there right now.
I think they probably were had. I think it scared the heck out of them. And Libby, one thing that is interesting to me is what a resolution, for example, at the UN might look like. Because right now, the U.S. has vetoed everything with impunity because Israel is our best friend in the Middle East. No two ways about it. And but if it is something that is acceptable to the United States but unacceptable to Israel, so that if you could see that there might be some conciliation between the U.S. and everybody else on some resolution that would go much further than this country has ever gone about this situation.
I don't know about if it's about what it would look like, but what does it actually accomplish?
I'm sorry, I don't get it. What's the question?
Well, it's not about what it's going to look like, what it's going to say, but what is, how much teeth does it actually have? We all know that people ignore the UN resolutions right and left. which is unfortunate. But that's the reality of the situation. And so, you know, if we get involved and say yes to a resolution that calls for a two-state solution and, you know, sets a timeline or whatever else it's going to be, you know, there's no world police. There's nobody that's going to enforce it. Israel can just pit itself once again as the victim here.
And they will. But on the other hand, there's a great deal that Israel gets from the United States.
Yes.
And that is, I think, part of this negotiation that is unseen by people here, whether it's, you know, airplanes or whether it's money. I believe Egypt and Israel are the two largest beneficiaries of international aid in the world from the United States, mm-hmm. which is huge. Now, we don't know what conversation took place, but I have a feeling some of these issues were raised.
I'm sure they were. And I'm sure, you know what we might see before the end of Obama's presidency is a sit down with an attempt to bring people back to the table.
Well, I think they talk to each other already. In other words,
the two parties, bring the Palestinians and the Israelis to Camp David, have a sit down, see what we can do before the end of the presidency.
It could well be that now that the landscape looks like it's changing, that you're right, that could happen. But if a guy's word is no good, then what do you do? You got it? I mean, to me, that's the problem. All the sit downs in the world is good. Look, we can see in the last 2 days how this guy has been flip-flopping.
Yeah, I know. It's a damned if you do and damned if you don't kind of situation. And it's unfortunate and it's painful for folks like you and me. It's very painful.
Not surprisingly. I'm sorry, Alan. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Libby's right. For folks like you and me who were raised, worshiping the state of Israel.
That's right.
And now you can see the reality of this situation. But at the same time, you know, you still have this lingering and absolute commitment to the sanctity of the state.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
We have some letters on this, and I want to get to those. So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to the letters, and then we'll get a news update from the BBC, find out what else is happening in the world at the bottom of the hour. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, get our letters, and then move on to the second part of the program, and we'll be back right after this.
Support for WMT comes from The Blue Marble, a world of gifts in Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring hand-selected jewelry from over 40 artists, including local, Native American, and fairly traded work, thebluemarble.biz. And Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the live music and video of Zamudo and special guest performer Gautier on Saturday, massmocha.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we welcome your comments roundtable at WAMC.org. We have been discussing the reversal, if you will, of Benjamin Netanyahu, both pre-election and post-election. As a result, we have quite a few letters, and Alan will address those right now.
Okay, my devices here aren't working too well, Joe. So,
all right.
So I'll try. Netanyahu, says Jim, has done the unimaginable and made current American politics look somehow respectable in comparison. Well, I don't know about that, but... And Bonnie says, Bibi shot himself. Folks, weasel words from a politician that finally earned just desserts. Would that our politicos were as stellar as foot in the mouth, which results in politic suicide. Let's see. John says, Netanyahu's actions over the past decade show that he never wanted a two-state solution. Continual construction on the settlements of the West Bank are just one example. And Angelina says, I stand with Bibi. Arabs are still occupying African land as well as have enslaved them. Arabs have no argument with me. Don't talk to me about Jews when you're doing the same. And that's from Angelina. And Tom says, He said something about the bumper. Yes. Let's see here. I believe.
And Joe, then if you go to the top, you should see one from Rich.
Rich. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Shall we mention a former campaign advisor to President Barack Obama during his 2012 election bid? Mr. Byrd was sent to Israel by the Obama campaign team to try to unseat Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And they did so, through One Voice and its Israeli partner V15, an organization which receives taxpayer grants from the U.S. Department of State. Obama has utter contempt for Israel and Netanyahu. And that's what we got. Ryan just checked in. I read a really great Slate article earlier that argued that years of war, danger, and the like have hardened Israel's heart. The behavior of Israel regarding Palestinians reminds me of Southerners' behavior toward slaves. They feared that with freedom, slaves would overrun whites in the South. But when slaves were asked what they wanted, they simply replied, the fruits of our labors. And then it goes on, and so that's all I'm going to read for this. Okay, that's it, Joe.
All right, we will get more of your letters in just a minute. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other stories. You'll write to us about those stories. We'll read your letters. We'll talk about other stuff. We have an entire half hour to go over many, many issues, and we will do just that after the short break. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. I should say welcome back. Maybe I am saying welcome. I don't know. If you were here before, we welcome you back. If you were not, welcome.
Yeah, that covers it.
That's right. Thank you, Ray. Ray Graff is with us, Alan Chartok, and Libby Post. And of course, were you going to say something, Alan?
No.
Okay. let me just remind people that you can get in on the action. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll get to some of the letters in just a few minutes. I do want to go on to some other issues, try to get to as many things as we can this morning, and we'll do our lightning bonus round. We haven't done that for a while, so let's go here. The violent arrest of a University of Virginia student sparked new scrutiny of Virginia's Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, otherwise known as ABC, on Thursday as university officials and Richmond lawmakers questioned the tactics and approach of the agency's law enforcement officers. The arrest put Charlottesville at the center of a national debate over white police officers' treatment of black youths, and it brought long simmering racial tensions to the surface at a school steeped in Southern tradition. The bloody incident also spurred student protests and what Virginia State Police said would be a comprehensive investigation into the arrest, both an administrative review at Governor Terry McAuliffe's request and a criminal investigation at the behest of local protesters. So this is a 20-year-old University of Virginia junior, Martiz Johnson, sustained a head wound that required 10 stitches after being arrested. It also spurred protests and what Virginia State Police said would be a comprehensive investigation into the arrest.
Anybody who saw the film of this guy, this wonderful kid, obviously, being picked up on a pretext of he used his parents' address, his parents' zip code as opposed to his own zip code where he was, forced to the ground, bleeding profusely. It was just awful. It was terrible. What I'm really impressed by is the governor of the state, the president of the university, were all quick to react and to say that this whole thing stunk and to really get on the case of this alcohol group. And starting investigations, and I am sure the Justice Department is going to do the same. This is not a thug. This is not somebody who is in the wrong place. This is somebody who just deserved the best of the best and didn't get it.
So the controversy here, as you alluded to, Alan, is that they claim that he used a fake ID to get into a bar. And his lawyer is saying that is not true, and it was just an ID that did not have the zip code on it that he was currently in. Okay, even
so, what?
Right. Even if it and I'm not saying it was, but even if it was a fake ID, does that what gives you reason to have this kid beaten to a bloody pulp?
He was walking while black. That's it.
Well, that's exactly right, Libby. And in fact, they had a very beautiful young woman who was on today, and she just said, you know, no matter what we do, no matter how much we achieve, no matter how many rules we obey, we're still going to be classified as black. You know, it made me weep. It did. I mean, it was just, it was so upsetting that this kind of thing is going on and that these jackasses think that they can get away with this stuff. I really hope that somebody has to pay for this one.
Also, and I realize this is a different issue, a somewhat different issue, and I do not, I will plead naivete on this particular, on knowing what the rules are here, but do all state alcohol, I mean, it's called something different in all states. Do they all have law enforcement?
I don't think in New York they do.
Yeah, it's not, I think
in New York all they do is the license stuff, you know,
right,
and make sure.
And then you let your normal
drinking
police officers take over the issue.
And I think that's what's going to happen in Virginia. Virginia apparently has gives the most latitude to these people, but I do believe that that's what's going to happen. They're going to take that power away from these guys.
Right, but the thing is that, you know, you hand it over to the police, and we've seen of late that they're not great either on certain situations dealing with people of color. And so, you know, there needs to be a lot more training and a lot more discussion within law enforcement at all levels about how to treat people.
These were employees of the Virginia ABC, mm-hmm, as it's called, three of the 130 special agents who have full police powers to enforce liquor laws in the state's bars and restaurants and prevent underage drinking. Does that require a gun?
I don't think so.
Well, you know, this
or
reminds
a stick.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. This reminds me so much of these jackass, guys who go after absconded prisoners and who have all of that power.
Bounty hunters.
Bounty hunters and employ all of that power. It's unfortunate that it took this, but I'm sure this is going to be a catalyst for change.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I think that there is going to be change. I mean, even there was a Republican, David Albo, who's a Republican delegate from Fairfax, said most of us who are involved with the ABC really wish the ABC would get back to enforcing regulatory alcohol law and get away from hanging outside of grocery stores busting 20-year-olds for buying beer. And I think that just about says it.
They paid a settlement, according to this article that we're reading here. They
paid $200,000?
To a kid who had bottles of sparkling water, and they pulled a gun.
Right.
On her.
Maybe
on
a little
her
overzealous in the enforcement.
Yeah, maybe that's a little. Where are the days where they used to just, put you in the back of the car and bring you down to your parents' house and have you get yelled at?
Yeah, true.
All right, let's move on to other issues, and we move on to this. Let's see. No, I was looking whether we wanted to go. Maybe I'll ask you. Do you want to go into the Tunisia attack of ISIS, or do you want to go into gene-edited babies?
Well, we've talked about ISIS a lot, and we will continue to talk about ISIS. But this genetic thing is very interesting, fascinating, as a matter of fact.
All right. So a group of leading biologists on Thursday called for a worldwide moratorium on use of a new genome editing technique that would alter human DNA in a way that can be inherited. The biologists fear that the new technique is so effective and easy to use that some physicians may push ahead before its safety can be assessed. They also want the public to understand the ethical issues surrounding the technique, technique, which could be used to cure genetic diseases, but also to enhance qualities like beauty or intelligence. The latter is a path that many ethicists believe should never be taken.
Well, what about eyesight? I mean, I wouldn't be sitting here with glasses on right now if, you know, you're going in a checklist and they say, okay, here are the genetic modifications we're going to give you. I believe this is on its way. I don't think there's any way it could stop. But the terror of it is, I want a boy, I don't want a girl, I want this and that. And there's got to be some, as Libby just said about another situation, there's got to be a lot of thinking here in terms of what we're going to allow and what we're not going to allow, and some pretty strict enforcement, I suspect.
I have great respect for science, but I worry when we start playing God.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing here. And you know, being able to go in and correct for eyesight, you know, the optometric lobby will get out in full force because, you know, that'll be the end of their business.
Unless they got a piece of it.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is this, you know, you can... What this could lead to is, I don't want my child to be gay. And that's been one of the things that
sure.
we have been very fearful in the LGBT community, you know, because now it is seen as there's a genetic marker and blah, blah, blah. You know, make sure that my kid's not gay. Make sure that, you know, he's perfect. Make sure he's a he or a she. Make sure he's not, you know, mentally challenged.
Designer children.
And
but on the other hand, make sure my daughter doesn't have breast cancer.
Well, that's if it's the life and death things, if it's a medical thing, yes. But if it's this, you know, I'm going to make this choice about the sex, the sexual orientation, the gender identity, whether or not they'll have blue eyes or brown eyes. No.
Danger.
Will Robinson.
Well, there's already somebody in a general's office in some country saying, we will breed a race of super warriors. Guarantee. This is a frightening turn.
I think that the measure taken here is quite warranted. And the scariest thing about this to me is that the line I read about, and from what my understanding is in a couple of the other journals on this, is that it's really easy. It's not that hard to do.
Right.
And I mean, they make it sound like basically you have this editing software on your computer and you can just like design this kid.
Right.
And that's a little frightening.
Right.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? First of all, I hear what you're all saying, and I certainly agree with the general thrust of what you're saying. However, it's coming. It's going to happen. What's going to happen is that if you have to go to Argentina to get the gene therapy or the gene slicing, you're going to go, or to Israel, or to any one of these other places that might be doing it. It is going to be a reality. And so as a result of that, there's got to be some real thinking about, and I think they know that, about how to what the limitations are on what you can do. Could you make your kid gay or not gay? I know right now there's going to be fierce debate on all of these issues. And I'm telling you, like it or not, it's coming. It's not going
to
stop.
Because even to your point, Alan, I mean, when you talk about the, whether it be breast cancer or cancer or other things, there's so many of the environmental factors of once you're born, too, that add to that. And yes, you can clear up the genetic component of it and the part that comes from heredity, perhaps. But also, you know, there still are the issues that come through living a life and being in the environment that we're in. I don't know how much, but as you know, as Libby said, if we're talking about making this designer kids where it's, I want my kids' eyes to be the color of my drapes in my living room, then it's a little freaky to me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And like, so my question is, how are you going to stop it?
Well, to me, it's like all the science fiction we read as kids is now coming true. That's what's
well, it
so
is.
Bizarre about all of this. And, you know, the point Alan made about the BRCA gene and, you know, breast cancer and all that sort of stuff. I mean, if you can do this in vitro or before vitro, can't you do some of this after someone's been born? you know, and go in and do what you need to do in terms of the breast cancer gene, do what you need to do in terms of some of these other horrible disease genes that people pass on. You know, wouldn't it be?
Well, yes, but somebody will say, yes, that's very reasonable. But somebody will say, that's not what I want.
Well,
that's not what I want, and it's not
always,
what I'm going to get.
As the Rolling Stones said, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Well, the problem is that you're going to be dealing with a society that is going to have an expectation that they want what's best for their child. And while I understand all of the religious issues here, I understand all of the political issues as the one you raised about, you know, gay and lesbian folks, I still understand that given a choice, people will do almost anything to assure that their kids have the best chance in life.
But, you know, we haven't we been down this road? I mean, you were saying about how do you stop it? And we've had the capability of cloning for a really long time now. And we're not doing it because it's freaky.
Yeah.
And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to say, oh, this dog we had was the best, so let's clone and have another one.
I would point out that there, you know, Alan's right. The genie's out of the bottle. It won't go away. However, I would just make everyone remember that there was a guy in the 30s and 40s who thought he could create a race of supermen.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, he didn't do many good things.
No, he didn't.
That's absolutely true. On the other hand, I think that when Joe talks about couldn't we do it, or Libby talks about it, couldn't we do it afterwards, that is, after they're born, that isn't going to be good enough for some people. Now, there's a big difference between cloning, you know, and making somebody exactly like you look or whatever, or, you know, taking something from a parent and making a child out of that. That is, as Joe says, freaky. But what we're talking about now is an advanced science that is not so freaky. It is that a parent is going to be able to say, I don't want my kid to have Tay-Sachs disease. I don't want my kid to have this or that, or the BRCA gene, as Libby just said. I think this is the look of the future, and the only way that we're going to deal with it is to figure out how, in the same way, hey, think about this for a second, the same way that we inoculate kids so that they don't get measles. I mean, this is science. This is where we're going.
We will take a break. We will be back and get your letters and go on to other issues as well. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Bridgeside Grill, Sunderland Center, Massachusetts. Offering lunch and dinner daily and brunch on weekends, featuring seasonal outdoor dining. Member of CISA since 2007. BridgesideGrill.com for menu. And Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, offering a bachelor's degree in health and human sciences for students interested in public health and healthcare policy, acphs.edu.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and our panel discussion this morning. We welcome your comments, roundtable@WAMC.org. And not surprisingly, when you talk about Israel, ISIS, and gene splicing,
yes,
you get a lot of letters.
Which has, what's the top?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's and racism. Yes. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, so Matt Mann says, will this be the end of ISIS and police racism that there are stars that are the stars of most news lately? At birth, will just gene code tolerance, transparency, and goodwill right? As Libby said earlier, I've got a bridge to sell you. And then Jeff said, you guys are way oversimplifying and overestimating this technology. So do most people. And the reason is the sensational sci-fi nature of the discussion. Take a closer look and see the limitations, complications, and uncertainties of the technology, says Jeff. Okay.
And, I would just add, for clarity and to clarify, there must be something about the availability and about the concerns to put the brakes on it. And that's what we're responding to. Not to oversimplify it, but to say that we are going down a path right now that is going and
we don't know where it's going.
Right, but we are moving in a direction where those who are the scientists who are aboard this train are saying, let's just hold off for a little bit and see where we're headed.
Right. But I can see the right wing like jumping on this and saying, we like this science because we can then control what's going to come out of the womb of the women we want to control. So it's a very interesting dilemma.
And Joe makes a very good point. Apparently, I read an article on this, I think yesterday, which said that the people – the guy who did most of the work on this was in that group, so that obviously they see something coming down the track here that they think is now, not
right.
later.
Yeah.
So it's true. It's probably not ready yet, but it's gonna be ready. Of that, we can be absolutely sure. Anyway, Alex says, lots of sketchy gray areas here. What about the gene for alcoholism, addiction? Isn't the struggle to conquer such challenges we are born with the essence of our stories as human? And then says, P.S., I think it must be done in vitro to work, says Alex. And Carrie says, hi, why shouldn't everyone be screened for disease? If only the wealthy have access to this, we're in trouble. Alan is right to compare to inoculations. This has got to be less expensive than the burden of all these illnesses. Okay, and that's from Carrie. And then I think Irene says, Libby commented about making genetic corrections after birth. I think it is preferable to do it in vitro because there are less cells to correct. And parenthesis, no judgment applied here. And then, there was one criticizing me because I said somebody, the young black woman was beautiful, and I shouldn't have said black. Beautiful because that was sexist. I can't find that one right now. And all like that. So there you are for now.
All right.
Okay.
Let's move on to other issues. And we go to, we have just a few moments. So we have two stories, one about drones and this story coming out from the BBC. And which, by the way, was very hard to find in the American press.
Yeah.
I found. But anyway, the U.S. FAA has approved Amazon's plans to begin testing drones for online deliveries. Hmm. The FAA said it has granted Amazon a certificate for people with pilot's licenses to test the unmanned aircraft. The drones must be flown at 400 feet or below during daylight hours and must remain within sight of the pilot, which I don't quite understand how that works. If you're sending a package from Milwaukee
right.
to New York, how you keep it in sight with a pilot, because then wouldn't you just
maybe
be easier to put it in the plane of which the pilot is...
Maybe it's just,
flying?
You know, local. So Amazon's going to have hubs in various urban areas or
right.
various areas, and the stuff comes in, and then they deliver it by drone that way. So the stuff will come into UPS or FedEx, and then they'll deliver it from the Albany Center to wherever.
Okay,
but still, being able to see it is insane.
Even to Saratoga, you
right.
can't see it.
Right, right.
But you'll need to have controllers up in blimps
right.
just to have line of sight. Otherwise, you might as well just drive the truck to the house.
Yes.
If you're going to have to be up the block with your remote control flying your drone.
It's true.
That may just be for now. In other words, that may just be for starters. But can somebody tell this poor, you know, old man what it is that is going to happen? In other words, how does the drone get the package to the house? I still can't get that.
Well, it's
so
words,
it flies it there.
Right, they fly it, and they right, and it's through your just like you would on
GPS.
On your GPS. It would go to your address, and it would and it would drop it off, and then fly back.
Wait! Stop right there.
Vertical takeoff and landing, Alan. It would come down vertically on your doorstep and drop it.
And they have like these cool little plastic boxes that they put them in that make them so you don't get all the whatever bird stuff. I don't know on it, and then. Or I guess weather too, and then they can drop it and then go back. And the idea is, Alan, that, how this helps you as a consumer is that when you say, I want this item and I need it in an hour, that you could potentially, while paying for it, of course, we could get it in an hour.
And no one has and by to the way, sign for it.
Right.
And by the way, the reason that the FCC is the FAA is doing this is because it's going on in other places, in other countries already, so they got to keep up.
That's right. China certainly, and UPS is on board with this, and Google is on board with this, and also trying these trials with drones, and Amazon said that they've obviously been working on this for a couple of years. So that's very interesting. And we're just about out of time. I think we are out of time.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. We apologize. We didn't
Spring
get.
Spring is coming.
Tomorrow, right?
After winter weather
today,
advisory.
Yeah.
No, and I'm putting on a t-shirt no matter how cold it is, and that's it. I refuse to compromise.
All right. Take a picture. Put it on the web.
No, don't.
Really, my eyes.
Take a selfie. All right. Alan, Raymond, Libby, have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after this.